Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. It reads in Hebrews 12:22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." In the same book, I'd like to back up to chapter 11, verse 10. Speaking of Abraham, it reads in Hebrews 11:10, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." The name of my sermon today is New Jerusalem, Beyond Imagination. Let us now go to the book of Revelation. The rest of the verses that we'll read together are in the book of Revelation, going to chapter 21. The first thing I want to read about is, what is the city likened to? Let's start with verse 2. We'll read verses 2 and 9. It reads, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Let's read verse 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." In verse 2, it says that the city was prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So in verse 2, the city is likened to a bride. And then in verse 9, the city is called the bride, the Lamb's wife. And the Lamb is Jesus Christ. So this city is the bride of Christ. So this is one absolutely beautiful city, friends. Now let's start reading about the dimensions the Bible gives us of this city. Let's read verse 10. It says, John says, "And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." Let's read verse 12. Talking about the city, he says, "And had a wall great and high." Now stop right there. We'll read the rest of the verse later. But it says here at the beginning of the verse, "And had a wall great and high." Now let's move down to verse 15. "And he that talked with me," meaning that angel, "had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof." So this city is surrounded by a wall. And it says in verse 17, we'll skip to verse 17, "And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to a measure of a man," that is, of the angel. Let's stop there for a moment. So this city is surrounded by a wall. That wall is great and high. And the angel measured the wall. He says 144 cubits. Now, in different cultures, there were different measurements for the cubit. A cubit is a measurement that runs from the point of a man's elbow to the tip of a man's middle finger. And most of the time, it's about 18 inches, about a foot and a half. So, and 144 cubits, if you go by the 18-inch measurement, is 216 feet. Now, when I read this verse, this is just my understanding. When I read this verse, it says, "According to the measure of a man, that is of the angel." It always sounds to me like John is saying that you'd have to measure the cubit by the angel's arm, and that would give you the measurement for the cubits of the city's wall. That's the way I understand it every time I read it. And of course, I have no measurement for that because I don't know how big the angels are. But the point I want to make, though, if you go by the 18-inch measurement, the minimum height for that wall would be 216 feet. That either way, friends, that is one humongous wall surrounding this city. As John said, it's great and high. Now let's read verse 16 in the same chapter. And the city lieth four square. It's a perfect square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. That's the perimeter, friends. 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So the city, it's the same measurement in length, the same in breadth or width, and the same in height. So what's a furlong? A furlong is an eighth of a mile, or 220 yards, or an eighth of a mile, 220 yards or an eighth of a mile. So if you take 12,000 and you divide that by 8, you get 1,500. So this city, 1,500 miles. This city is 1,500 miles in perimeter. So think about it. It lies four square. It's a perfect square. And in perimeter, 1,500 miles. According to experts in statistics, this city would be so big, it could fit every human being who has ever lived on this planet. 1,500 miles in perimeter. Now, let's divide that. 1,500 miles in perimeter. Divide that by 4. You have 1,500 miles in perimeter. So you have... sorry, just a moment. 1,500 miles in perimeter, and you have a city that is four square. Okay, yes. So, this city would be, dividing 1,500 by 4, you get 375. This city is 375 miles long. So if you walk through the city, to get all the way from one end to the other, you'd be walking 375 miles. And it's 375 miles wide. Remember, the height is equal also. 375 miles high, friends. Forget about our tall buildings. World Trade Center, Empire State Building. They're nothing compared to this city. 375 miles high. That is one humongous city, and humongous doesn't do justice either. Now in the same chapter, let's go to verse 11. It says, about the city, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, first I want you to know that the definitions I'm going to give you of the stones in the book of Revelation are taken from a 1964 edition of Webster's 20th Century Dictionary. I'm not saying that these are the definite colors of everything. I'm not saying these definitions are down to the letter with the Bible, the colors the Bible is referring to. But nonetheless, these definitions, these colors, give us an imagination, will help us to help to capture the imagination. Let's turn in the book of Revelation to chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. We'll start with verse 2. Revelation 4. We'll read verses 2 and 3. Here John sees the Father sitting on his throne. And he says, and immediately I was in the Spirit, meaning in vision. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. So John sees the Father sitting on his throne, and he likens him to a jasper and sardine stone. A jasper stone is red, yellow, or brown, or a combination of any of those colors. Sardine stone would be deep reddish brown. John likens the sight of the Father on his throne to those stones. That same dictionary said in the Bible, a jasper is probably a green ornamental stone. How they came to that conclusion, I don't know. Nonetheless, we're talking about beautiful stones that John is likening the sight of the Father on his throne to. Remember, the city has the glory of God, like the glory of God, like a jasper stone. Let's turn back to chapter 21. We'll read verse 11 again. It says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Remember, that's one of the stones that John likened the sight of the Father on his throne to, a jasper stone. Whether it be green, or whether it be red, yellow, or brown, or a combination of any of those three, this is a colorful stone, friends, and it's clear as crystal. You could see right through it. Phenomenal. Continuing, verse 23 in the same chapter. It says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So this city does not need, it has a wall, a jasper stone wall, clear as crystal, and it doesn't need the sun or the moon to shine in it. God and the Lamb lighten it. In chapter 22, let's read verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So we have one magnificent city, friends, that we can't imagine. I don't know if I've ever told any of you, I'm a former sci-fi buff myself, and I find this city much more fascinating than I ever did any spaceship or any space station that I used to see on TV or in movies. This makes me forget about them. So now let's, back to chapter 21, let's read verse 18. So this city has the glory of God like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Yeah, we'll see later that the wall is clear as crystal, the jasper stone. It says, verse 18, and the building of the wall, there you have it, was of jasper. The building of the wall of it was of jasper. Remember, the red, yellow, or brown, or a combination of any, and it's clear as crystal. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. So you have a jasper wall surrounding a city that is pure gold, clear as glass, friends. Can you imagine this? You can see through everything. Now, I don't know if all of you know, most things that we know as gold are really gold-plated. Gold alone is a transparent mineral. If you ever look at an astronaut's helmet, what is on that helmet? Transparent gold. So continuing, let's back up to verse 12. We'll read the whole verse this time. It says, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. So this city has, again, this city is 375 miles high, made of gold, like transparent, like clear glass, and it's surrounded by a jasper wall, also clear as crystal. And then in the same chapter, let's go to verse 21. It says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. The Bible doesn't tell us what the colors are, but imagine a different color, each gate, with that jasper wall and gold city. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Gold city, gold streets, transparent. Don't you want to live there, friends? Jesus says he's preparing a place for you. This is that place he's preparing. Remember, 375 miles high, surrounded by the jasper wall, and on each side, you have three gates. And you have an angel at each gate. Don't you want to be there? Let's back up in the same chapter, chapter 21, to verse 14. It says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Yeah, those 12 apostles would not include, as you know, Judas Iscariot. They include the 11 who were still with Jesus after he died. And then the other would be Matthias, mentioned in Acts chapter 1, the one who was chosen to take Judas' place as the 12th apostle. So this wall, this jasper wall surrounding this gold city, has 12 foundations. Let's read about those foundations. Verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. These are the foundations Abraham was looking for, friends. The first foundation was jasper, as mentioned already, red, yellow, or brown, or a combination of all three. The second, sapphire. We know that one, deep blue. The third, a chalcedony, usually grayish or milky colored. The fourth, an emerald, green. The fifth, sardonyx, brownish red and white. The sixth, sardius, possibly a deep ruby red color or brownish red. The seventh, chrysolite, generally some shade of green. The eighth, beryl, emerald and aquamarine. The ninth, a topaz. That's white, yellow, pale blue, or pale green. The tenth, a chrysoprasus. That's apple green. The 11th, a jacinth, reddish orange. The 12th, an amethyst, purple or violet. So friends, think about this city, the surrounding, all the colors around it. And in the midst, transparent gold. That's the home Jesus is preparing for you. He said, and says in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. This is the place. Now, in addition to all these, in addition to being made up of all these stones and being made up of gold, does the city have natural wonders? Yes, it does. Let's go to chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. It reads, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So you have the river of the water of life. Let's stop right there for a minute. In a king's palace, which tower is his throne usually located in? The top. The highest tower. Imagine God's throne being at the top of this city and the river of life proceeding from it. Can you imagine a river flowing about 375 miles down? Forget about Niagara Falls, as magnificent as it is. The river of life will be that much greater. Verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. One time someone said to me, "We won't be eating in heaven." I said, "Yes, we will." The fellow said, "That's your wishful thinking." I said, "No, that's what my Bible tells me." And the tree of life, 12 manner of fruits every month. And it's on either side of the river of life. So if the river of life flows between the tree of life, that means you would have a trunk on both sides. And it would unite at the top in one tree. And I can't wait to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. I know many of us here love fruit. I expect heaven's fruit to be that much greater. Yes, actually, I'm also... I don't know if many of you know this. I am well known by some others for liking to drink of the fruit of the vine, which Jesus mentions drinking anew with us in the kingdom. Again, I expect that to make me to forget anything that I drink here. Continuing with the natural wonders, verse 17 in chapter 22. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So the water of life, friends, will also be there for us to drink. We'll see it flowing, and it will be there for us to drink. Let's turn to chapter 21, verse 6. Another natural wonder. It says, in chapter 21, verse 6, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So we have the river of the water of life, and we have the fountain of the water of life, and we have the tree of life. So we have natural wonders to look forward to in this city, along with the mansions prepared for each of us. Now let's go back to chapter 21. Read what else it says about this city. Chapter 21. We'll read again verse 22. It says, "And I saw no temple therein." We won't need temples, friends, because God himself will be right there in that city. He'll be right there for us to worship him. We won't need any special buildings for worshiping him. We have them for now. They're borrowed for a while. This church building, for example. But in the city, God himself is right there for us to worship. And it reads, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Verse 23 is the one we're reading again. "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So God and the Lamb are the sources of light. Verse 24, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." So the gates will be open all the time, friends. The city will never be closed. It's a city where we won't need to worry about crime. We won't need to worry about violence. We won't need to keep doors locked. We won't need to worry about invaders. Remember, ancient cities would close their gates so that invaders would be kept out, or to try to keep invaders out, should I say. But this city won't need that. The gates will be always open. Continuing, verse 26, And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. We'll see that a little bit later. Neither whatso worketh abomination or maketh a lie. In other words, no liars will be in that city, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then in chapter 22, let's read verse 4, speaking of God's presence. It says, "And they shall see his face." Let's read verse 3, sorry. "And there shall be no curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." How many of you want to see God's face, friends? I hope everybody wants to see his face, the face of our Creator. But as mentioned, nothing that lies or works abomination will be in that city, friends. But those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if we are going to enter it, we need to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. We must not be liars. We must not work abominations. Let's back up, chapter 21. How do we enter the city spiritually? First, let's read verse 8. It says, chapter 21, verse 8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Friends, we can't be any one of those things if we're going to enter that city. We can't even be liars. Verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." For us to be the children of God and to inherit all things, we must be overcomers. Overcomers of sin, overcomers of temptation, overcomers of the world. Overcoming the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what we need to inherit all things, so that we may walk into that great city and partake of the tree of life. Let's read chapter 22, verse 14. It says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Friends, Jesus says to us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." In Revelation 21, that city is called the tabernacle of God. That's his house, his dwelling place. "In my Father's house are many mansions." Those mansions are in that city. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Is this a promise that we want to claim as our own? He said it to his disciples, but it's a promise for each of us to claim. But again, in order to enter, to claim that promise, we must be overcomers. May we each claim the promise. Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." May we overcome the world by the Holy Spirit in Christ's strength, not our own. And be among the commandment keepers who enter into the gates into that city which Jesus is preparing for us. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we leave this house of worship today, that your Spirit will continue to be our comforter, teacher, and guide. And we pray that you will help us to look forward to the things that you have promised us. Give us a desire for those things, even to be with you in your eternal kingdom, to be in your glorious city. And we thank you so much for giving us your holy scriptures and for the angels protecting us. And we thank you again for sending the Holy Ghost to comfort us. And we thank you so much for the great sacrifice of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus. through whom we have the hope of eternal salvation. In his worthy name we pray, amen.